All right, so look who we found. We're here with Eddie Cornell and Blair Echter, the lawyer and the man behind the lawsuit that was able, or the judicial review that was able to get a judge to rule the invocation of the Emergencies Act unconstitutional. You guys are now taking the federal government to court and the banks as well to try and get damages. So take us through the whole process, beginning with the judicial review, Eddie, and why you wanted to do that, why you wanted to be involved in the leading of that, and now what we're looking for, what you're looking forward to in the civil trial.
Okay, it began while we were still at the convoy. We got involved with launching this lawsuit, JCCF and others, and Blair Echter and Bathsheba Vandenberg stepped up and became the attorneys for the lawsuit. And he'll be able to explain a little better, but you know, we scrambled really hard to get that lawsuit in before the government removed the emergency order. And I think something like about eight minutes. Wow. Otherwise we would have had no shot. So with that win in mind, most Canadians didn't hear about it. It was really flying under the radar. Blair and Bathsheba, they won that lawsuit, and that allowed us to pursue another lawsuit civilly, holding them accountable for what they did.
And Blair, why don't you explain some sort of the legal aspect behind what you're now doing, which is this civil suit?
Certainly, yeah. So with the Justice Mosley decision that came out on January 23rd, he declared that the Liberal government's usage of the Emergencies Act was unreasonable, and the economic order and the regulations that followed, which enabled them to freeze bank accounts for individuals such as Eddie Cornell, were found to be unconstitutional as well. So on the heels of that, and on the two-year anniversary of the invocation of the Emergencies Act, we filed a notice of action in the Ontario Superior Court of Justice, where we are seeking damages against the members of Cabinet personally. So we have sued Trudeau, Lametti, who was the Attorney Justice Minister at the time, and other members of Cabinet, in addition to the banks and other individuals such as the police that we've sued as well, the police, the Auto Police Service, and various other people who were responsible for this. I think all told there's 28 defendants on there. And what we were trying to do here is to hold those who were involved in these unlawful orders and this, what we would consider tyrannical actions of government, accountable for that. And that Canadians are going to stand up to this, and that we will oppose tyranny wherever we see it. And to make a point here, it's not even particularly about the Liberal government or who it was. It's the government of the day that did this. And if any government does this to its citizens, we will fight and we will oppose it. And we will oppose it vigorously, because that is not what Canada is, and that is not what we stand for as Canadians. And I think that the tide has shifted in this. And I think that, to my mind, there is no justification for what took place. To go extrajudicially with no oversight and have the police and bank basically act as the judge, jury, and executioner in freezing bank accounts, that's not how Canada works. And we are going to hold those who did that accountable.
Amazing. Now, you guys were telling me earlier about somebody involved in the lawsuit who had their bank account frozen, but wasn't actually a supporter of the Freedom Convoy, yet he still had his bank account frozen because he was a joint account holder with his father who was there. I mean, that just, I think, speaks to the unconstitutionality of the entire order. And the reality is that you guys aren't just doing it for the Freedom Convoy, but people who were collateral damage in a way, right?
That's correct, yeah. Blair can speak to that.
Exactly, and I think this is an important story to get out to your viewers. So one of our clients, one of the plaintiffs, 17-year-old kid, not only did he not support the Freedom Convoy, he actually opposed the Freedom Convoy, was against the Freedom Convoy, but his dad went down to Ottawa, participated in the Freedom Convoy, and he was a joint account holder. His dad's bank account got frozen, and by proxy, our client got his account frozen, a 17-year-old. He went to go deposit his check back where he was working. Again, not in Ottawa, not supportive of it, in a completely different province at the time. And he couldn't even deposit his check. He was a 17-year-old kid at the time working in a kitchen just to make a living. And that's how far this reached. And that is what makes this extremely unconstitutional when you think of how far this reached. And just the chilling effect of that, to have your bank account frozen out by your government for something you didn't even do. And not only that, not only didn't do it, he opposed the very movement, the Freedom Convoy, that led to his account being frozen. And that is who this impacted. That's how far-reaching this was. And that is complete government overreach. And Canadians of all different backgrounds should be outraged at that and should be supporting our lawsuit to hold the federal government and those who were actively participating in enabling this unconstitutional action. They need to pay for this. They need to be held accountable so that future governments know that you cannot do this to Canadian citizens.
Absolutely. And Eddie, you gave quite the speech inside at the ICS. Can you tell our True North audience the message you were trying to get across to people at the conference today?
Basically, you know, I'm trying to warn them that this government is completely drunk on power. I mean, if you don't have to agree with something that we did during the convoy, but to see your constitutional rights and freedoms trampled in that way, first it's me, then it's you, and it'll happen to everyone eventually, and you need to stand up for that. We can't let our government take over and become tyrannical and slide us into tyranny. It's not going to happen, and that's why we're standing.
Absolutely. We can see your medals here. You're a veteran of the Canadian Armed Forces, and you were subject to brutal treatment at the Freedom Convoy. What do you think it says? What do you think this says, the message it sends to veterans and service members in Canada, when they see how the government is willing to treat veterans, the people that have served this country and put the country on their back?
I can't speak for all veterans. I can speak for myself and the others that I do know. Yeah, they weren't happy. A lot of the guys that came, you know, came to support the convoy in Ottawa, you know, had already been betrayed by their government with Malathequin. And, you know, they knew something was wrong. They used them as guinea pigs once before. And here they are putting in mandates and other things, you know, locking people down again. So they came to voice their concerns and stand up as a shield for Canadians who are experiencing for the first time, you know, being forced to things that they don't want. So that's why we were there, and they came in by the hundreds.
Absolutely. Well, Eddie, Blair, I know a lot of Canadians are very happy to see the work that you guys have been able to do and to get what you've been able to get through and into the courts. So thank you guys for that. Really appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
We do really appreciate it. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Good job. Awesome. Thanks.